नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम। कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज व्हाट प्रहलाद लर्न इन द ओम। श्री प्रहलाद उवाच पितरी प्रहलाद उवाच पितरी प्रस्थिते स्माका तपसे मंदराचला युद्धोद्यमं परं चक्रो विबुधा दानवान् प्रति। श्री प्रहलाद उवाच। ट्रांसलेशन। प्रहलाद महाराज सेड व्हेन अवर फादर हिरण्यकशिपु went to Mandarachal mountain to execute severe austerities. In his absence, the demigods headed by King Indra made a severe attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare. There is no purport, we will continue to read. Pipalikair ahir iva dhishtya lokpata puna papena papu bhakshiti vadanto vasavadaya. Alas, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, so the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always inflicted miseries upon all types of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. That is called as papena papo bhakshiti. Sin is eating the sin. Saying this, the demigods headed by King Indra arranged to fight the demons. Tesham ati balodyogam nishmyasur yatapaha वध्यमाना सुरेर भीता दुर्दवो सर्वतो दिशाम कलत्र पुत्र वित्ताप्तान ग्रहान पशु परिच्छदान नावेक्षमाना त्वारितः सर्वे प्राण परिप्षवा। When the great leaders of the demons who were being killed one after another saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals and household paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled. Vyalumpan raja shibiram amarajaya kankshini indrastu raja mahishim mataram mamachagrahit. The victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Then Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen. Niyamanam bhayodvignam ruditam kurarim iva yadrichaya gatastatra devarshe dadrshe pati. As she was being led away, crying in fear like a kurari captured by vulture, the great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition. Prahanainam surapate netum arras anaghasam muncha muncha mahabhaga satimpara parigraham. Narad Muni said, O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her. Text 9. Sri Indra Uvacha Astesya Jatare Viryam Avishyam Suradvishaha Asyatam Yavat Prasavan Maksherta Padabim Gataha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. King Indra said, in the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her. Purport. Indra, the king of heaven, decided to arrest Prahlad Maharaj's mother because he thought that another demon, another Hiranyakashipu, was within the womb. The best course, he thought, was to kill the child when the child was born, and then the woman could be released. अस्तस्य जठरे वीर्याम अवस्थ्यम सुरद्विषा अस्यताम यावत् परश्वम मोक्षेर्ते पदवीम गता. King Indra said, in the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu is the seed of the great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her. Hare Krishna. So here, Prahlad Maharaj has just spoken about Krishna conscious philosophy to his friends. As Prabhupada explains in the beginning, that when the teachers were not there, and during the tiffin hours, rather than playing, Prahlad gathered all of his friends and started speaking about Krishna. And the way Prahlad spoke, we see, now Prahlad, for Prahlad, the time where the children are supposed to hear Kaumara Acharat Pragyo, that was already late. Because he heard Krishna conscious philosophy in the womb of his mother. Every day, what a good fortune. Narad Muni not only came to protect Hiranyakashipu's wife, that is Prahlada's mother, but he also came expecting the great souls, they are visionaries. Like when one of the great yogis of Himalayas was hearing Prabhupada's pastime, when the story came about how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in the first meeting itself, he said, you should preach this message all over the world in English language. So this yogi said, this is not order, this is vision. He is watching, he is seeing that this person will do this. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj is already in the womb of his mother. What kind of seed is that? The seed of a demon. Who is bearing it? Another demon's daughter. So you don't expect there is any Garbhadhan Samskara being performed. Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, Kamsa, you know, of course they would perform some Samskaras to get a greater demon. That's what this school is all about. Hiranyakashipu school, started by Ashand and Amarka, is to create people whose vision is to be dual. Duality is their vision, hypocrisy is their vision, and they flourish on that, and they take pleasure in training their offspring. So naturally, you don't expect any samskaras created so that Prahlad will be a good child. The whole propaganda of Hiranyakashipu is to send people, those who perform sin, to the heavenly planets. If you are a sinnest of the sinner, then you go to heavens. And if you are performing pious activity, then you'll be sent to hell. If that is the agenda of a Hiranyakashipu, what kind of samskara will you expect? There is no samskaras. So therefore, already, in one sense, the child's future was sealed. But Narad Muni is a visionary. He came there, and Prahlad Maharaj in the future verses, when he is glorifying Lord Narsingdev, he says that why did Lord Narsingha came? Not to protect me, rather to make the words of Narad Muni come true. And what did Narad Muni say? It comes in the next verse. Narad Muni told Indra, logically Indra should have not believed it, because they are more apt in understanding the whole, how the material world works. Sometimes we wonder why such a son is born. What can you do? The parents are like that, therefore the son is like that. Very common understanding. Prabhupada explains that. So, and that too in Satya Yuga. A demon's son has to be a demon. There is no question of demon's son becoming a great devotee. So Narad Muni told Indra and all the demigods that do not kill this child, because he is not an ordinary child, he is a great devotee of the Lord. Those words, according to Prahlad Maharaj, made him a great devotee. Up until then, he was not a great devotee. And Prabhupada writes there, this is parampara system. That the demigods had full faith in the words of Narad Muni. They kept aside their logic and experience. Logically, they should not accept. From experiential point of view, they should not accept. But they accepted, why? Because the words were coming from the great devotee Narad Muni. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj also say. Because of the words of Narad Muni, Rite Rishim, the words of Rishi, Narad Muni's words, Lord wanted to make them come true. And only to make his words come true, he made Prahlad devotee, that is Prahlad's perspective. And also Narsingdev came to protect, just to make the words of Narad Muni come true. So therefore, when Prahlad spoke this beautiful philosophy to his friends, very spontaneously, very innocently, he didn't, usually when we speak or preach, there is a lot of background. What will happen if somebody comes? Especially if you are preaching in a place where you are not supposed to preach. But Prahlad had no fear. He was not fool, but he was innocent. And because of that innocence, he started speaking to all of his friends brilliant verses, Kaumar Acharat Pragyo. And Prabhupada's purport is also very sweet. So we'll go to all these verses and see what Prahlad is saying. And when Prahlad said that one should practice devotional service from the early childhood, when you are 5 years old, sometimes devotees have this question. You know, if we protect our children, only give them Krishna consciousness environment, don't expose them to the material world, they'll be too dull and too innocent. But the question is, we are already exposed too much to material world. There is not question of, you know, fearing, oh, if we are not exposing them. We are not like Sringi, you know, Rishyashringa Rishi, where Rishyashringa's father trained his son in a place where not even a other species, other than the male species, could ever come. That is not the situation. So therefore, here Prahlad is saying that from early childhood, one should be exposed. And Prabhupada writes brilliantly that a child should be trained to be a brahmachari, but unfortunately in this age of Kali, people kill the child within the womb. And if by chance, if the child survives, then he's trained to perform sense gratification. If he's there in the womb, kill him. If he survives, train him for sense gratification. They will never give this choice, okay, train him to become a brahmachari. Just like one of the acharyas from our parampara, Vyasatirth. Very beautiful story, that when Vyasatirth, his parents were, of course, having a good samskara, born in a devotee's family. And, you know, they were given benedictions, devotees blessed them. And suddenly this man, Vyasatirtha's father, before he was born, he was dead. He was declared dead. And the wife was crying that what happened to my husband? Suddenly, accidentally, he's dead. And some of the ladies came, they told, you know, go, they say, great sage has come, Brahmanyatirtha. You go to him and he will do something about it. She said, my husband is dead. What can a sadhu do? He's not a magician. He can only say, you know, he can speak a philosophy. But some other she went. And when she went to this place, now the sadhus, when they benedict or give blessings, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always, whenever he would meet someone, he would say, Krishna Mati Rastu. Let your attention be on Krishna. That is how a devotee blesses other. Let your health be nice. This is not a benediction. Of course, they also do that. Like Prabhupada would write, that, you know, I hope you are keeping good health. But in between, then you would speak about Krishna conscious philosophy. So this sadhu benedicted. They would always benedict Krishna Mati Rastu or Narayana Smritihi. Let your attention be on Lord Narayana. It's a continuous, even if you are accidentally, like sometimes we see devotees who are chanting constantly Hare Krishna. Even in prasadam prayer, they chant Hare Krishna. Or those who are constantly practicing chanting Sharira Vidyajal. Sometime even you are sleeping, you chant Sharira Vidyajal. Why? Because that is a habit. So this devotee, suddenly from his mouth did not come Narayana Smriti. From his mouth came, he chanted saying that, Saubhagyavati Bhava. And he was shocked. He said, how could I chant? How could I say this? Never such Ashirvad has come from my mouth. How did I say like this? And the lady said, how can you bless me like this because my husband is already dead? I have come here. He said, it is not possible. He said, never ever I have given such a benediction in my life. Never uttered such words. Why did Lord make me speak these words? There has to be something. And he said, take me to your husband's dead body. Now, according to again the strict sannyas principle, a sannyas is not supposed to see a dead body. According to the strict sannyas principle, he is not supposed to see a dead body. Therefore, Jananyaspro always tells us, Brahmachari should not go to the cremation. Then it increases unnecessarily bodily. What do you see on the cremation ground? A strong bodily concept of life. Even though there is this body is being burned, but there is strong bodily concept of life. Therefore, those who are in the renounced order should not go. So this sannyasi was acting against his own rule. He said, take me there. Because he was convinced that he is not dead. He came there, and what to speak of seeing, he is not supposed to touch also. A dead body can only be touched by a person who is in the cremation ground. So here he touched the dead body also. And the sannyasis in those times, they had some the ability of seeing the Nadi Pariksha. And he could see that the soul is still there. Even though the symptoms are of the symptom of a dead person. And he took the water from his Kamandalu and he sprinkled some water and the child was raised. The man got up. And he said, you are going home, but I know why Krishna did all this. He said, when your son is born, you get a son. And when your son is born, you should give it to me. And I will make him my successor, Sadhu. And the parents were shocked. They didn't expect that to happen. You revived us, that is good, but this is too much to ask. And his name was Brahmanya Tirtha. You read his name in our parampara system. He said, if you don't agree to this, it is not I want it, it is the desire of the Lord. And he said, let us put a proposal. If the child is born within your home, he is yours. If the child is born outside the, that, you know, very, what do you call it? Courtyard, outside the courtyard, and the child is Lord's. And I will take care of the child. And they said, no. Accepted, no problem. They accepted the proposal. And they are still hoping, after hearing this, after experiencing this, they still wanted to act against the desire of the Lord, which we cannot. So they were, you know, the husband had given, they were devotees, no doubt. You know, he was doing all puja, and then he was asking her, never ever come out of the house, even if your pregnancy is 4 months. We don't know what will happen. Because we want the child should be born within the house. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. 9th month came, you know, almost like the husband would lock the door from outside so that she should not come out. But how can you stop the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Everything is so clear. But for one who is attached, this clear understanding or clear experience does not give any knowledge. You just keep on forcing yourself. And then when the 9th month came, suddenly some young children came running to this lady. And the husband had gone to perform his puja. And he said, mother, mother, just see in your field, some bulls have entered and destroying the field. Another attachment. You have your field. So, spontaneously, without remembering, she walked out, took a stick in her hand. She went far away from her house, chased all the bulls away, and suddenly started experiencing the labor pain. She started experiencing the labor pain, And the Brahmanya Tirtha always had his people moving around. So they came and told him, and he sent few, you know, wives of some of his disciples, and he gave them a golden tray. He said, let this child does not touch the ground. Before even the child touches the ground, let this child fall into this plate. This is the offering plate. And let us offer this child to the Supreme Lord. So they came, and you know, they placed the child in the tray. The tray was brought, bhoga plate was brought. And in this way, the child from very first day was raised by his spiritual master. What a good fortune. The parents came only when he was 5 years old to perform the Upanayan Samskar. Because the Upanayan Samskar has to be performed by the parents. They would meet him, but the spiritual master, Brahmanya Tirtha, raised the child, and when he was 8 or 9 years old, he gave him sannyas, and he named him Vyasa Tirtha. So therefore, here Prabhupada, you know, is speaking about the same principle, that the child has to be trained from very beginning in the house of the teacher. People perform, especially those who are the higher caste, the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they perform this Upanayan Samskar. And what is Upanayan Samskar? Upanayan Samskar is not a celebration. It is not a social function. You know, though, usually we see in the small towns, when the Upanayan Samskar is going on, the child is made to sit on the horse. Nowhere it is mentioned in the scripture. He is not a Kshatriya. The child is going as a Bhikshuk. When the Upanayan Samskar is made, it is explained, the child is supposed to be directed toward the forest, not towards the house. So once the guru cuts the navi, the barber cuts the hair, guru gives the stick and gives the kamandalu, and he says, now you go, walk towards the forest. So the ceremony is done, the child is made to walk 5 steps towards the forest and turn him back and take him back to home. So the ceremony is there, but the substance of the ceremony is lost. Then Prahlad Maharaj explained that this human form of life is given to all of us only for one reason, so that we can develop our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because he has this material body and he forgets his real goal of life. And then Prahlad Maharaj explained that one should not, you know, once he comes to this material world, suffering and happiness, they are two sides of the same coin. You have one side, the second side will come. You can't avoid it. Suffering and happiness, they are regular. You can't avoid it. Like Prabhupada told that story. One cook who was working as a chef, the whole day had to cook. So he wanted to buy nice shoes. But when will you wear his shoes? In India, you can't wear shoes when you're cooking, according to the traditional system. So because he had this strong desire to buy his shoes, he purchased the shoes from his hard work. When will he wear shoes? So Prabhupada says he would wear his shoes when he was sleeping. Just to experience the pleasure of wearing shoes without utilizing, you know, the whole facilities of the shoes, because he was all the time cooking. So this happiness and pleasure are there, and if you force yourself to be happy, when your destiny is not to be happy, you can't be happy. Even if you have all the ingredients for happiness, like the best story is in the Mahabharata. Karna was equally, sometimes they say more powerful, which I don't agree. Nowhere it is mentioned in Mahabharata that he was more powerful. But just to make the point that how Arjuna is always protected by Krishna, it is presented that he was equally or more powerful than Arjuna. He had all the facilities to defeat Arjuna. He had that Shakti weapon given by Indra. He had Brahmastra learned from his spiritual master Parshuram. He had all the resources, but his destiny was to suffer. So when you force your destiny to be against what it is, then your suffering simply increases.
his childhood was suffering. He should have accepted as Krishna's mercy, but he was trying to change it. And then his very resources, what he was thinking that I can use for my pleasure, for my victory, that very source at the time of his death, or he was hoping to avoid his death, when he called for them, they were not coming to his help. You know, his weapon did not come, his chariot wheel got stuck, and he was asking Arjuna, stop, don't kill me. But his destiny was, he was supposed to be killed in the hands of the great devotee like Arjuna. And even the Shakti weapon was there. This question was raised by Satyaki. After Karna was killed, he said, my dear Lord, Karna had Satyaki weapon and he faced Arjuna many times on the battlefield. He had to just invoke that weapon and, you know, throw at Arjuna, but why he did not do it? And Mahabharata explains, Krishna said he had the weapon, but I had his intelligence. Matta smritir jnanam aponamcha. If Krishna does not remind you with what you have, what can you do? You can't do anything. You may have all the knowledge, you may have best of the pen to write question in your exam, but if the intelligence doesn't flow, if Krishna stops your intelligence, you cannot do anything. That's the one shloka answer Krishna gave. He had the weapon, but I had his intelligence. Therefore, however many times he came in front of Arjuna, he could not fight. And therefore, Lord explains, Prahlad Maharaj explained that he said one should not try for happiness. He said one should not try for happiness because happiness will come its by own accord, just like distress comes by its own accord. How logically Prahlad is presenting. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga, it is not only the yoga of the heart. Prominent it's a yoga of the heart, but because heart is the most dominating factor, the self is the most dominating factor, because the heart is involved, naturally the mind is involved. Because of that, naturally intelligence is involved. And because of the senses also involved. Why? Because that is the dominating factor. Therefore, logically, Prahlad Maharaj is preaching to his friends that just see, happiness come, distress come by its own accord. How true and how logical it is. Similarly, Prahlad said, just like happiness, distress comes by its own accord, similarly, happiness will also come by its own accord. Therefore, one should not try using the strong body for acquiring for material sense gratification. Rather, Prahlad Maharaj said, as long as this body is strong and stout. Just see, Prahlad is speaking this logic, when the body is strong and stout, this is the very time when you can practice spiritual life. It is not as people say, why practice now when you are young? When you become old, you should practice devotional life. What is that logic? It is not logical. From experiential point of view also, it is not possible. The old body, a dwindling body, you know, meeting with embarrassment, Prahlad said, cannot practice devotional service. It is not possible. Only when you are stout and strong, then you can chant Hare Krishna loudly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. But in the effect of Nirjal Ekadashi starts affecting us as the day passes, then chanting Hare Krishna becomes slow and soft. That is natural. Therefore, again, Prahlad defeats the logic of the mundane people that take to Krishna consciousness when you are old. You cannot take to Krishna consciousness when you are old. You are feeble, you are weak, your attachment simply increases. A young man has a limited relationship and his identification of relationship is also very limited. He can only identify his parents. And only the parents say, this is your grandfather, this is your grandmother, this is uncle, this is aunt, and so many. Then because of that ignorance presented by the parent, then he develops a relationship. The old man is not like that. You know, he extends so many relationships. So it is very difficult for him to practice devotional life. So that is Prahlad's logic, that from very childhood one should practice, otherwise the body will be dwindled. And then he gives experiences. That how one's life is spent. 50 years of one's life is spent in simply trying to sleep or sleeping or rolling back and forth. In Kali Yuga especially, you can't sleep also. Like our Ram Kumarji, when he came from Jagannath Puri, he said during the Chaturmas time, the Lord goes to sleep. Shayan Ekadashi, from the day of Shayan Ekadashi, the Lord goes to sleep. And till the Uthan Ekadashi, which comes during the Kartik month. Only once, there is a ceremony, actually they put the Lord to rest. The Vijay Murthy in Jagannath Puri, the Lord goes to rest. In the middle of these two Ekadashis, once Lord moves his side, Karwad Badalna. They actually put the Lord from this side to this side. So here, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, the luxury and satisfaction for people is to sleep 50 years of their life. Like yesterday, Krishna Chandrapur was saying, you know, there are hospice beds where they sell, and some of these hospice beds cost $17,000. Just imagine, $17,000 for dying. Anyway, you're going to die. But then they have created a bed which is $17,000, about 7 to 8 lakh rupees. You can build a very beautiful temple with that much of money. A small temple where you can put the deities and worship. A $17,000 for a hospice bed where a patient can lie down. Make him as comfortable as possible materially. Of course, because he is referring to this because, you know, he is very much instrumental in building the hospice in Vrindavan for devotees. So many people are sending, you know, their quotations of different kinds of hospice bed costing $17,000 also. Then Prahlad Maharaj explained that how a living entity spends 50 years of his life in sleeping, then playing, then affected by old age, and in this way hardly any time left for practicing devotional life. And then he talks about working hard. Our Akinchana Krishna Prabhu gave a very beautiful example, which I will not repeat today, about money and gold, how gold is very much dear to people. And then Prabhupada compares gold to be yellow stool. And then how they are attached to it. Prahlad Maharaj, as a 5 years old boy, is speaking all this philosophy to his friends. And therefore he says that one should... And then he talks about family attachment, you know, broken language of their small children. And not only that, you know, wife cooking nice food. Not only that, even the furniture is very dear. Sometimes people expect, idari mera janmoga hai, idari marna hai. On the same bed, in the same house. That is the strong attachment. And all Prahlad is speaking this. And then, Prahlad Maharaj explains that if you practice devotional service and learn the art of seeing Krishna everywhere, you develop good qualities. When you can practice devotional service, then you can learn the art of seeing Krishna everywhere. And when you learn the art of seeing Krishna everywhere, then all the good behaviors. And the first behavior is that there will be no duality in your life. And then Prahlad said, but this does not come by chance. It does not come. This original knowledge was given by Lord Narayan to Narad Muni. And only by the grace of Narad Muni, I received it. He said, only when you cover your body with the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotee, then this understanding comes. Knowing Krishna or knowing about God is not a big deal. 80% of the world's population, they are theistic. 80% of the world's population is theistic, but it isn't seen in the normal behavior. Therefore, someone was saying that knowing God is okay, but acknowledging God is most important. Do we acknowledge His presence? If we don't acknowledge His presence, simply knowing about Him is not a big deal. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, only by the grace of a pure devotee this happens. And after hearing from Prahlad Maharaj, naturally all the friends were quite surprised. They said, hey, look, that is the next chapter. They said, how is that you and me, all of us, we are growing in this palace of or this kingdom of Hiranyakashipu, where there is no facility for any preacher to come and preach because it's a secular country. In secular country, you're not supposed to speak about Atma. You're not supposed to speak about anything. Like our Dr. Alva was telling me yesterday that, you know, one minister in Karnataka, you know, he sent a circular to all the temples just 3-4 days back. He sent a circular saying that all the temples should perform Tulsi Archana while chanting Vishnu Sahasranam for the Lord every day morning in the name of the government of Karnataka for the prosperity of all the subjects of the state. Very rare, but when he did like this, the opposing party said, hey, how can you do like this? This is a secular country. This is not allowed, and they filed a case against him. You know, this is not only Hindu country. He said, I have not said Hindu, I have said everybody. All the people of the state should be benefited of this Tulsi Archana. But still, he is not allowed. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj's friends are asking, and specially for you, we have some facilities. We don't grow in the palace. We are not, you know, nourished in the palace. But you, specially protected by your father in the palace, how is that you got this knowledge? Now again, Prahlad Maharaj, to reveal the name of Narad Muni, is putting Narad Muni in danger. But is not conscious, is again innocent. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj explains this story, what is presenting now. That how Narad Muni's, Hiranyakashipu's wife Kayadu, when she was pregnant and Hiranyakashipu was performing tapas in Mandarachal mountain, all the demigods came there, knowing that another Hiranyakashipu is being born. But very interesting, they could have did abortion of Kayadu. Prabhupada writes in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad about Kamsa. He said Kamsa was a demon, but not such a demon where he would force Devaki to commit abortion. Even the demons would not do it. That's what Prabhupada says. He is allowing the child to be born, the child to see the light, no, to see the sun. And after that, you know, he's killing the child. So similarly, Indra, he is here, and Indra is going to arrest Kayadu and then take her to his place and allow her to give the birth to the child. And then after the child is born, he wants to kill it. In the Vedic society, we see that very interesting that death has given a lot of importance. Dying in all varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, everybody dies. But simply dying for without proper significant reason, that death has no value. You born, you grow old and you die. Like our Adbhut Hari Prabhu was quoting Jayadvait Maharaj. You know, that birth, disease, you know, old age and then new age. That a child goes through old age, then he has to take a new body. Again, new age, 100 years, another life. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So simply dying is not recommended. And if the death is very significant, then the punishment, just like in the Vedic scripture, like we see in the Mahabharata battle, people criticize Krishna for arranging the death of Karna in a way which is not according to religious principle. Another illogical reason, say, oh, he was not from a higher caste, therefore he was dealt like that. What to speak of him? Anyone who stood against dharma, there are so many examples. Bhishma's death was much horrifying than death of Karna. Krishna told Arjuna not to keep any space between two arrows when he was shooting arrows at Bhishma. Not to keep any space between two arrows. And who is he? Bhishma was the greatest of the devotees. He put Shikhandi in front of Bhishma so that Bhishma will not shoot at Arjuna. And when Bhishma would see Shikhandi, he had taken a vow that anybody, a woman, and not fully man, that is eunuch. And then being a woman in his last lifetime, I will not shoot at them. I will not even look at them while fighting on the battlefield. And what Krishna did, he made Shikhandi sit on the chariot. And Bhishma could not see. That became very easy for Arjuna. And he was shooting one after another. And not keeping even a small space between two arrows. That is why Bhishma was killed. And Dronacharya, again Krishna did that. Why? Not because he wanted Pandavas to win, because they were standing against Dharma. Even the heavenly voice were speaking for Dronacharya. Do not do like this. This is not fair. You are a Brahmana, and as a Brahmana, you should be only teaching and performing the principle of trying to attain Brahman. But what are you doing? Even after hearing the voice from the heaven, Dronacharya did not stop. It is said that Madhvacharya explained Dronacharya is affected by some demonic qualities. And ruthlessly, innocent soldiers, he was breaking all the laws of the battle. A Maharathi is not supposed to kill ordinary soldier. But when Krishna saw that he was not willing to stop, the Lord applied the principle. He told Yudhishthira, you have to tell the lie. And Yudhishthira spoke the lie. And then that's how Dronacharya was killed. And the way Drishtadyumna was running to kill Dronacharya, and what Dronacharya was doing? Mahabharata explained, Dronacharya was meditating upon Lord Vishnu. He was meditating upon Lord Vishnu, and Krishna is the original Vishnu. He knows that he is meditating upon him. Krishna could have easily stopped Drishtadyumna. He didn't stop. Drishtadyumna went, grabbed the shikha of Dronacharya, who was his martial guru, and cut off his head. While Arjuna was trying to stop, don't do it, don't do it. But Drishtadyumna ran and he cut off his head. And then again Bhurishrava, another great personality. When he was fighting Satyaki, he was about to kill Satyaki. Krishna told Arjuna, you know, Satyaki is like your limb. And Satyaki, because he's your limb, you have the responsibility to protect your limb. When Arjuna shot the arrow and cut off the hands of Bhurishrava, Bhurishrava said, how can you do like this? I was fighting with somebody else. And Arjuna said, no, you are fighting with my limb. And I have the responsibility to protect my limb. And you are talking about Dharma. He said, he is exhausted. He has lost his weapon. He is not fighting with you in a fair way. When he is exhausted and you are trying to kill him, and you are expecting that you follow the, I follow Dharma, when you are not following Dharma. And who was Bhurishrava? Another great personality, a yogi, and Krishna arranged for his death also. So therefore, to understand the principle of Dharma, or using the principle of Dharma in a wrong time, we were discussing this in the Brahmachari class, that when you use the highest principle of Krishna consciousness in a lowest consciousness, that causes violence. Like Kaikeyi was speaking the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita to Bharat. When Bharat was looking for his father, where is my father? She said, just like all the living entities, they go to the place where they don't come back. That is the very place your father has gone. Do not lament, become the king. She spoke second chapter, but what was the time? What is the situation? She had become hard-hearted. She had become selfish. She was acting on such a bodily concept of life, and she is speaking second chapter of Bhagavad Gita philosophy. It will never affect. Not possible. Therefore, the acharyas explain that just see, she was so affected. She was liking Ram. She loved Lord Ram. She had great affection for Lord Ram, but she didn't like Ram becoming the king. So she fell into this conflict. I like Ram, but I can't like him to be a king. When you don't like some aspect of the Lord, he taking your life, then unconsciously or consciously, you take a decision which is totally against the principle of devotional service. And from her very mouth, she said, let Ram go for Vanvas for 14 years. Now they say, why 14 years? According to Manu Samhita, if anyone goes out of your sight for 14 years, he should be considered as dead. and then you are supposed to perform Shraddha ceremony to that personality. So Kaikeyi was saying, consciously or unconsciously, Ram, you die, so that I can perform Shraddha ceremony and let my son rule forever, and you don't come back to this kingdom. Similarly, the Kauravas also, they wanted them to go for 12 years. You know, Duryodhan was very precise, very clear. 12 saal nahi aaoge to fir, I'll perform your Shraddha ceremony. One time, Dhritarashtra had already performed Shraddha ceremony when they were burned in the house of lakh. He was crying tears, but those tears were not the tears of lamentation, but those tears were the tears of joy. And Vidura stopped those joy. He said, no, they are not dead. They are still living. Don't worry. So then Dhritarashtra was apparently, at least he acted, he was happy. So that was Kaikeyi's mood. She loved Ram so much, you know, that duality continued to exist. She liked Ram, but she could not accept Lord Ram becoming the king. And therefore she sent him to the forest. And then she could speak this philosophy. Or Dhritarashtra, when Vidura was telling him, it is not right on your part. What you are doing is absolutely wrong, adharma. So therefore, you stop your son. You arrest your son. But what does Dhritarashtra say? Dhritarashtra speaks Vedanta philosophy. The highest Vedanta philosophy, we were discussing this, that as Prabhupada, when he came to America, what did he say? He said, I do not know how to preach here. Krishna, you have given me the name Bhakti Vedanta. Now it is your responsibility to make this word come true. I am simply like a puppet and you are the puppeteer. And the way you want me to dance, I will dance. I will not dance independently. Now this is one philosophy used by Prabhupada. And what does Dhritarashtra tell Vidura? He said, Vidur, why are you telling me? He said, I am like a puppet in the hands of the puppeteer. I have no control over situation. I cannot do anything about this. If my son is behaving like that, I can't do anything. He is controlled by the Lord. I am controlled by the Lord. Don't blame me. That is the using of Vedanta philosophy for wrong reason. And he will be held responsible. Therefore, when people say, whenever Krishna decides, let me become a devotee, Baldev Vidyabhushan explained then why Krishna has given scriptures. Why Krishna has given rules and regulation in Manu Samhita. Why Krishna has sent so many saintly devotees. Why Krishna has arranged to build temples. Because the living entity has the choice. And he can always make the choice wrongly. Duryodhan also knew Krishna. And he speaks again the high philosophy. That you are the machine, you are the operator and I am the machine. A machine will not work independently. You are an IT engineer, Duryodhan. He said, only when the operator operates it, the machine will work. So therefore, don't blame me. So when you use the philosophy of Krishna consciousness for a wrong reason, that is the violence. Using Krishna consciousness philosophy as the right reason is non-violence. And both Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, Kaikeyi were using it for wrong reason. Like this lady also, when she gave Charanamrit to Srila Prabhupada, a Charanamrit which was filled with salt instead of sugar. And Prabhupada said, what kind of Charanamrit this? Who made this? Why like this? And she blurted out Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna's mercy, your foolishness. He didn't use Krishna conscious philosophy. So therefore, this aspect of understanding, this understanding of Krishna consciousness, of where to use what philosophy, at what situation, is also the special mercy of a great devotee like Narad Muni. And very interestingly, Narad Muni is narrating this story to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Can you imagine such an embarrassing situation? That he had to narrate everything to Yudhishthira Maharaj and is speaking, you know, to Yudhishthira Maharaj, what Prahlad Maharaj speaking about Narad Muni. You speak about yourself, that's okay. But if you are speaking what others speak about you to somebody else in the assembly, that's a real embarrassing situation. But Narad Muni is doing it so that he can enlighten Yudhishthira Maharaj. And it is not his glorification according to Narad Muni. he is glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. And when Prahlad Maharaj is glorified, and Prahlad continues to speak to all of his friends, and the friends of Prahlad continue to become astonished hearing the words of Prahlad, and all of them, they chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And they attract the attention of Shanda and Amaraka. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Ramanand.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you mentioned that in the earlier days, it was okay to, it was not okay, but they did kill outside the womb. But whereas in Kali Yuga, most people are killing inside the womb. How is it any different to kill outside the womb?
Like Prabhupada, is, both are wrong, absolutely, naturally. That Kamsa's action, you know, doesn't make it religious because it's killing outside the womb. But one is more horrifying. And second is horrifying, but not as much as the killing inside. But both are, you know, sometime one wrong to, you know, overcome the second wrong doesn't make that wrong to be right. Like take for example, the tapasya vrat, like what we are trying to do today, Ekadashi. Some people say, oh, better to eat than to remember all the time about eating. Better to eat is not better than not eating. That is also wrong. But because rather than justifying, one should say, no, I'm less advanced, I cannot do it. Rather than making a philosophy, it's better to eat than not, you know, eating and remembering all the time eating. That means what we are doing, justifying and condemning those who are performing the tapasya. So therefore, one wrong to overcome other wrong doesn't make it right. The principle, the religious principles, the dharma principles are always the same. Their application in different situations may appear to be different, but the principles always remain the same. So therefore, you know, the action of Kamsa killing, waiting for Devaki to give birth, is demonic only. And then Indra killing Prahlad, you know, thinking that he's a demon, because Indra is the king of the heavens, has some responsibility of keeping demons away from the entire surface of the earth. So if he comes to know it's a demon, then he has the responsibility to eliminate such. And therefore Vidur, now forget Indra, Indra may be a materialistic devotee, now Vidur is the greatest of the devotee. When Duryodhan was born, apparently Vidur, you know, he didn't say kill your child, but he said, you know, just leave him. Leaving alone a child, where will you live? In the mercy of the material nature, and material nature is surrounded by, you know, ferocious animals, snakes. So basically he was saying that, you know, this child should be rejected because all the indications were there. So therefore the point is, in Kali Yuga, mercy is considered as protecting the body. Therefore, there is so much of talk of capital punishment is being cruel. But from Manu Samhita and other codes of conduct, you know, all kinds of punishments are given. And they appear to be very cruel and hard-heartedness. But there is a background, like Prabhupada explains, if a murderer is released without giving him the punishment of capital punishment, then he has to go through more suffering. And the person who released him, not giving him punishment in the name of mercy, he also has to suffer. So what happened to your mercy? Your mercy caused suffering to you. Your mercy caused suffering to that person who is a murderer, more suffering. If you had given him a capital punishment, then for that sin in this very lifetime, you know, he is given that punishment. So next lifetime, he is a better facility for advancing in his human form of life. Otherwise, to come back, again murderer. again more punishment. You are extending. So when you don't have the scriptural background, your concept of mercy is a violent one. Just protect the body. Somebody asked Prabhupada in America, you know, how can you worship someone who is responsible for killing millions of soldiers on the battlefield? He objected this, he made this challenge to Prabhupada when Prabhupada was talking about meat eating. You are killing innocent animals. And they said, oh, you are talking about killing innocent animals, your God was responsible for killing millions of soldiers. Prabhupada said, there is a difference. He said, these people had the choice not to be killed. They came stubbornly. Therefore, they were responsible for their own death. They were not innocent like chicken or goats. The chicken and goats did not go there, you know, fighting, I'm going to fight you. They came asking for your shelter and he slaughtered them. He said, you can't understand this difference. And then what was the benefit of killing all those soldiers? Another question is raised. All this battle took place for how many years Pandavas ruled? Just for 36 years? That's all? Dharmaraj for only 36 years? Of course, that calculation is also wrong. Parikshit Maharaj became king. Janameja Raja became king. But even 36 years, what to speak of 36 years? If you have one good experience in this world of Krishna consciousness, that is worth killing billions of people. That is worth. Because that experience, that positive experience, will affect people for eternity. Like Bhagavad Gita was spoken for 40 minutes by Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, 40 minutes of Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna is still creating revolution to 40 millions or 40 crores of people in the entire world. Just imagine if Krishna had not spoken that knowledge. It is still creating that revolution. So therefore, it is not how many years the Pandavas ruled, but in what principles they ruled, even if for one day, it doesn't matter. A rule of a demon for 1,000 years giving all kinds of sense gratification, what is the value of that? So that experience of 36 years for all the inhabitants of Hastinapur and the earth planet was an amazing experience. Therefore, even devotional life also. You know, even if something goes wrong, like Prabhupada was told, somebody was telling him, what if the spiritual world is not existing? Prabhupada said, doesn't matter. We had still best experience of devotional life in this material world. It is worth it. Even if that takes to hell, practicing Krishna consciousness here, it is still better. Because, you know, if Indra is like Hiranyakashipu, you don't know what he will do to you. He practiced devotional service because Prabhupada says, Kali Yuga also affects sometime in the heavenly planets. Like we were discussing this in the Brahmacharya class, that when you are practicing devotional service, if by chance, that you are still sent to hell, will you challenge Krishna? You say, karmani nirdhati kintuja bhakti bhajam, that by practicing devotional service, all the reactions of karma are eradicated. Like the story of Yudhishthira Maharaj seeing hell. Now, why did he see hell if he was a great devotee? So many explanations can be given. And now one explanation can be given, what is the harm in seeing hell? Did Yudhishthira Maharaj make any noise about it? Person who is seeing the hell, did he make any noise? Why did you bring me here? For a devotee, it doesn't matter. Why? Because he had the experience of practicing devotional service nicely. He is not hoping that by practice of this devotional service, I have to go back to Godhead. There should be no reaction. His reaction is that I got a very good action to perform presently. But for our sake, for a conditioned soul, the knowledge is given, which is the real knowledge, the absolute knowledge, that anybody practices devotional service, he is freed from all karma. But if that doesn't happen, will you stop practicing devotional service? No, because the experience of practicing devotional service itself is a result. The result is not freedom from hell and not freedom from hell. Devotee doesn't bother. He is not bothered by that. And that is the character we see in the life of the Pandavas. They were beyond the concept of, will I be freed from the reaction? They were freed. And even if it is not freed, we don't care. When Bhima killed Duryodhan, you know, hitting on his thighs, again by the order of the Lord, Balram is watching. Balram saw Krishna indicate to Arjuna, and Arjuna indicated to Bhima, and Bhima struck Duryodhana on his thighs, which is totally against the religious principle. And Lord Balaram became fire. He upraised his, you know, mace or his plow to attack Bhima. Now, just see, Lord Balaram is affected because of some affection for Duryodhana. That's Duryodhana's good fortune, that, you know, Balaram is unreasonably affectionate to Duryodhana. But that unreasonably being affectionate to Duryodhana affected on Bhima's life. He was opposed to attack Bhima, condemning Bhima. And we were discussing, unfortunately, this is Lord Balaram is acting as a pastime, but most of the time a living entity only sees the present situation and judges everything based upon that. Oh, this is adharma, how could you do it? He doesn't see the whole background. He doesn't see the whole future. He only sees the present. And seeing that present, he makes the judgment. Including Lord Balaram did that. Why he did that, nobody knows. We don't know why he did that. No explanation is given. But he did it. That is there in the Mahabharata. And Krishna stopped him. And Krishna said, my dear Balaram, how can you do it? Why can't you see the list of Duryodhana being in the, you know, so many cases were filed against him. Because all the department was under him only. He always came out. Nothing happened to him. And you are saying that how is he doing like this? And even the heavenly voice went against Bhima. Kind of even the demigods in the heavens were affected by the present. But they didn't care for it. The Pandavas didn't care. Why they didn't care? Because Krishna had sanctioned them and Krishna protected them. Even though others got affected, including Lord Balaram, who is the original spiritual master. Very bewildering, but very sweet also. Why? Because this shows how Krishna was always on the side of the Pandavas. Another interesting is that we are affected by the present. Therefore, how Vyasdev depicts the story of Karna, when you read how he is dying, it brings tears in the heart of even a hard-hearted person and sympathizes with Karna. And that sympathy towards Karna leads to offense against the Lord and his devotee. Even Arjuna got affected. Arjuna stopped. He brought his bow down. He brought his arrows down. And Karna was struggling. Just imagine your chariot has run away. Your Shalya said, I'm not going to drive your chariot anymore. He left. And in fact, the charioteer is supposed to do. He said, you go and do it. And Karna is doing it. And he said, wait, Arjun, wait. You know, you can see that he's bloody all over his body. His chariot wheel is stuck. And he's trying to pull out. And naturally, Arjuna, person like Arjuna, will be sympathizing. And the whole depiction is that everybody is sympathizing. You know, sun god is sympathizing, making the rays of sun very light, not very effective. And then he's waiting, wait, don't kill me. The tears are there in the eyes. Such a great depiction. Everybody got affected, including Arjuna got affected. Even devotee children, I asked Sunday in our children's class, who is hero? Some said Karna is our hero. Just see, even devotee children. It is natural. Why? Because the depiction of that story at that situation, the character of Karna is depicted so nicely by Vyasadeva. That is the greatness of Vyasadeva. But only one person was not affected. Who is that? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was not even one drop of sympathy towards Karna. Krishna said, my dear Karna, now you are talking about dharma. I said, very good. Neech. The word neech is used in the Mahabharata. He said, the neech people, they always condemn dharma when they don't practice dharma. They don't condemn their own bad activities. And you are a very good example for that, Karna. And this time you are expecting some sympathy. But Krishna, because he knows the past, he knows the present, he knows the future also. What is Karna's destiny? And Krishna gave all the list, reminded him what he did, what was he responsible for, and told Arjuna, Arjuna, shoot him. Don't wait. You know, when he's down, shoot him. Krishna created anger. Yes. When Arjuna didn't want to kill, Krishna made him kill. When Arjuna didn't want to fight, Krishna made him fight. Krishna spoke whole Bhagavad Gita to make Arjuna passionate and angry. What is the objection? People can object. Why Krishna did like that? Why should he not do it? Because his principle is to establish dharma. And then anger arose in the heart of Arjuna. Without anger, you cannot do it. And Krishna made it. And you took the Anjalika or Pranjalika weapon and pulled it as far as possible, stretched it. And that weapon, that arrow, shot and, you know, removed the head of Karna from his body. And his body lay down there in the pool of blood. And Krishna embraced Arjuna. What a hard-heartedness. But that is the greatness of the Supreme Lord. He is not like us, affected by the situations. He never gets affected by the situation. And a pure devotee also never gets affected by situation. But sometimes it does happen to Arjuna also. And that happened to Arjuna. That happened with Bhishma. That happened with Dronacharya. That happened with Karna also, who was his worst enemy. Why? Because he's a pure devotee. Therefore, Krishna has to be there to remind. No, you can't be affected. If you get affected, then what will happen? Then adharma will prevail. That is the difference between Pandavas. Pandavas were soft like rose, but they were guided by Krishna to become thunderbolt. Unfortunately, Gandhi didn't have anybody like that. He used rose all the time, and the rose was trampled very badly. In the name of non-violence, nothing worked. So therefore, Krishna, very interesting, never gets affected. Never. He has full history. He's the best of the lawyer. A lawyer is supposed to present, you know, all the laws to win the case. And Krishna always presents at the right time. And even if Balram misunderstood, original guru, who is supposed to, you know, disseminate all the knowledge, but even he, for the sake of pastime, we don't know why, but he did go against Bhima, go against the Pandavas, condemn them. Not only condemn them, he came to attack them with a weapon. And Krishna said, wait. No, don't do like this. He came to attack Arjuna also when Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra. Because Balaram wanted to marry Subhadra to Duryodhan. Just see, Krishna said, this will not work. If you tell something to Balaram, he's not going to listen. Arjuna, Krishna told you, kidnap her. Krishna is the best social reformer. He didn't say, okay, let us sit. When he saw that all the Yadavas headed at Balaram is illogical, Subhadra doesn't want to marry Duryodhan. Who wants to marry Duryodhan? Only Bhanumati married by accident. And she had to suffer for the rest of her life. She didn't never want to marry. So Krishna told, you kidnap my sister. And Arjuna kidnapped. Mahabharata says he kidnapped in his... He didn't come as sannyasi. He came directly as Arjuna only. And Bhagavat says he came as a sannyasi. Tricked Balaram. And Krishna said, hey Balaram, what are you doing? Balaram told Subhadra, you take care of this sannyasi. And Krishna telling, how can you do like this? She's a young boy. She's a young girl. And is a young sannyasi. There may be some problem. Krishna indicated. And then eventually he made Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra, and Balaram was about to attack. Krishna said, wait. She is liking him and he is liking her. What is your problem? So therefore, Krishna stopped him. So therefore, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of God, it is called as Achyut. He never fails in protecting his devotee, never fails in reminding all of us our background, our present, and our future also. And what was Karna's future? Because he was killed in the hands of Arjuna, in the presence of the Supreme Lord, he was aware of the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, the Acharyas, Madhvacharya explains, he attended the Vaikuntha. So what that? One death, one time dying in the hands of the Lord and his devotee unfairly, if it is fetching you Vaikuntha, why not die hundreds of times? The stupid people who don't know anything, they make a big issue out of it. Write book. You know, how the Lord is unfair. The person whom he was unfair to, they are in the spiritual world, worshipping the Lord. and you are taking their side and you go to hell. Doesn't make any sense. So therefore, only a devotee of the Lord, always guided by the scriptures and the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never makes the mistake. Otherwise, if you see by circumstance, you'll be affected by three modes. The emotions will make you blinded. Avrutta jnana meteno jnanino nitya vairena. Krishna told that. And Arjuna was affected. Every Yudhishthira Maharaj getting affected in Mahabharata, every other day he would get affected. Every day, other day. Even that 18 days of battle, one day they were victorious, he would say, so many soldiers died, I am responsible. Second day when his army got defeated, he said, I will go back to the forest. When he came to know that Karna was his brother, he cursed Kunti. What is this you did? Krishna said, wait a minute, no, don't do like this. He had already cursed. He said, it was my responsibility. He said, if he was not killed, he said, he was so bad, I offered him that, my dear Karna, do you know Yudhishthira Maharaj? Do you know his qualities? If I tell him that you are his brother, I guarantee with all his enmity what he has, but once he comes to know that you are his elder brother, he will make you sit on the throne. And Karna said, I know it. I know that Yudhishthira Maharaj will do it, but I'll still give that kingdom to Duryodhan. If that is the stubbornness, what do you expect from Krishna? You expect him to die. Karna to die when he is trying to remove his charity will. So when he is so fair, by all means, materially, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, and still somebody says something wrong about Krishna, you know, what good do you expect of this country? All literature, either in South or North, in Bengal or Maharashtra, everywhere, these literatures are flourishing. Therefore, distributing Prabhupada's books, you know, giving this knowledge, you know, removing all the prevailing ignorance amongst people, where they are having it. And you know, some community, they say Krishna is in hell. Somebody told me this, Krishna is in hell. I said, yeah, he's gone to pick up all you people there. Huh? I told that. You know, he said he has gone there because the Lord, for him, doesn't make any difference, hell or heaven. He has gone there to deliver all of you people who say that he is in hell. So unfortunate. So we'll stop here and we'll start the kirtan. Our Hiten Prabhu is coordinating this full night kirtan, the full day kirtan on the occasion of Nirjala Ekadashi. And there is a prasad also that is tomorrow actually.